We do. Now, welcome to the call. The head coach of the Towson Tigers, Rob Van Roos. Good afternoon, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well. A hard-fought CA game up in Durham, New Hampshire on Saturday. You guys come up a little short, 26-14. Before we look ahead, just give me your impressions on your team's performance on Saturday.
Played hard, played tough, played four quarters, played stupid on occasion. Turn the ball over four times. You can't turn the ball over four times on the road in our league and expect to win. However, if you turn the ball over four times on the road in our league, you probably expect to get your butt beat really, really bad and not be in the game in the fourth quarter. And I love our kids fight. I really do. We're rusty in some ways, but there's a lot of good stuff that comes out of it. And we get a great opportunity to get better this week.
Made a quarterback change at the half, and Jeff Miller is a guy that came on through a touchdown pass. And as you said, took you down and gave you some opportunities to win there in the second half. Talk about the making the change and how you felt like Jeff played.
Well, I love the fact that, you know, from where Jeff was in the spring to where he is now, you know, long conversation about with the team, about a guy named Connor Fraser, who was a backup quarterback for us at 13, who barely took a snap right up until the second half of the semifinal game. And Connor Fraser's led us to the national championship. You never know when your number is going to be called, and you have to prepare like a starter. And Jeff did just that. He really did. With the time, Chris wasn't seeing it, and it was good to take a different perspective, put on the sidelines, talk about it with him, you know, show him what we're doing, what we weren't doing. And I thought we had a chance to grow, but I thought Jeff did a great job stepping in and leading, and bodes well for the future.
We've talked a couple times about your depth at wide receiver, and another guy, Ryan Ronkowski, steps up, set four catches, 74 yards, adding even more depth to the group. Just maybe talk about his game Saturday.
I feel like Ryan's probably the most intelligent, polished guy we got as a wideout. He can play every single position. I feel like he's been in college for like 13 years. He's like the Van Wilder of wideouts, and he's a great guy, but he's probably one of those dudes that I would not be surprised, no matter what he does for a living, after he's done playing, I'm going to say that the virus of football will have him coaching something, just because he knows football that well, and it loves him and he loves it.
You also are able to against a pretty formidable front, run for 154 yards. Jerry Howard, obviously, with a big game. Maybe just talk about the performance of your rushing game.
Yeah, I think that we found a lot about some of our personality up there and who we could be, and just as a backfield and a front, and going against a great run defense. It's a great defense in general. And those two interior kids are amazing. Safeties are amazing. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff early on in the season that we did that we could do better. We could do a lot better, but certainly there's a lot of stuff to grow from. And if we can run against those guys, I think we'll be able to do a lot of things.
For me, I'm members online. Use your chat feature or the raise your hand feature. You have questions here this afternoon. Switch over to the defensive side. I know you've added some new faces, but Keyvan Bruton, eight tackles, the transfer from Temple, eight tackles and a fumble recovery. Maybe just talk about your defensive effort on against UNH and Keyvan's performance individually.
I think it's a challenging offense. Yeah, Rick, Sean and Ricky do a really great job. They always have. New Hampshire has always found a way to play the strengths of their kids, find a way to, you know, you got a backup quarterback and he's playing like a starter. No surprise there. You got a running back that's massively dynamic. It's impressive. And our goal was to not give up the big play. Try and get some turnovers, but not give up the big play and figure we could hold them on drives. And minus a couple of them, we did that, but they really stung us when we needed to. I thought the kids played really, really hard against a mentally challenging offense. I think it's going to make us better. You know, we don't play another league game for about 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks. So this experience defensively has taught us a lot about the league, a lot about us, and a lot about who we're going to be moving forward.
Question from Ed Lee. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Rob, I wanted to ask you if we could fast forward to Saturday's game against North Dakota State. This is the first meeting since the 2013 FCS title game. I was wondering, what do you recall from that game? What memories sort of resonate with you today?
Let's see, pregame with their head coach and watching the field be the most disgusting championship field that I've ever seen anybody play a sport on in the history of the NCAA and thinking how embarrassing that was. I remember a blocked field goal that really, you know, was a momentum changer, that they went down the field and scored. We went down the field and scored. They weren't really used to that. And they had tons and tons and tons of awesome, amazing fans that were really quiet for about 5 minutes. And that was fun to be a part of. I remember the commercial breaks where every administrator, every dude with a suit and tie was out on the field like a polo match trying to replace the divots so nobody saw how bad it was on TV. But it didn't matter. I mean, they were playing on the same field we were playing. They're extremely, whether it was that game or every ounce of film I've seen on them before or since, they're extremely well coached. They hustle. They don't beat themselves. They're one of the smartest, most physical football teams you're ever going to face. And that's a testament to who they recruit, who coaches them, and where they go to school. And they got probably the best, and I can say, I don't have any problem saying this, they probably have the best fan base in FCS football. And I would say they have one of the top 50 in all of football at any level. And all of that's a force. It really is.
What do you remember about the journey to get there?
Oh, that was a long one. That was a hard year. That's a year where Gavin Class was in the hospital, and he was hit or miss there for a long time. And we were living in a world where we were worried about one of our own and still trying to win football games. And there was a lot of emotion that went along with that year, good and bad. I remember Peter Efton's going down in the semifinal at halftime and knowing Connor had to go in, and we were up, but they're good. Eastern Washington's a very, very, very good football team. I mean, you think about the guys we played against that year, guys who play in the NFL now, what was a joke for a while. We played in the quarters, and that's the last time at some point Jimmy Garoppolo had lost a game, and he was multiple years into the league by that time. So that was a wild ride. It's still, one of the questions, this is the thing I remember. Somebody asking you, can you appreciate it? And why? I don't know. It's incomprehensible, because if you sit there and take a moment to actually stare at what's going on, you're probably going to get run over by the future. You need to prepare for the next 6 seconds. So the team you're about to play is going to kick your butt. And one of the great things you teach your kids is not about 11 games. It's about 16 plus. And being prepared to play that many games and how much it takes a toll on your body and how to prepare for it, that you prepare for it 6 months in advance so you can do it. And that some of the teams can't get there. They're talented enough to get there, but can't buy into that bigger mentality. Our kids did. North Dakota State's did. They did that year. North Dakota State's kids do it every year.
One more question for me. You know how hard it is to get to that spot. Do you look back on it and say that was, for lack of a better word, perhaps a once in a lifetime opportunity for us?
I mean, we did it Division III, we did it Division II, did it Division I, at the level that we're at. Yeah, it's hard to get to the national championship for anybody in any sport. Like, there's just too many good teams, no matter how good you are. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of work, a lot of love, and a lot of luck. It does. The ball's got to bounce the right way. Certain injuries got to recover faster, or guys don't get injured. And, but schedule's got to work. 2012, I know a whole bunch of people standing on the table said we probably could have won it all. But we played Kent State and LSU in the same year, and both of them were nationally ranked. And while we played them okay, having to play them took away our opportunities to go play in the playoffs. So, a little bit of luck is in it every year, and you can't see 15 years out when you schedule games. But it's a great opportunity. It was a great opportunity for our fans. It's a great opportunity for the game. It's a great opportunity for our league. We're just one more of the CAA teams that have in the last 10 plus years. Is it once in a lifetime? Nah, I blame myself. I used to talk about getting there. This is what you need to do to get to the national championship. And what a bad head coach I am, because I didn't talk about winning it. I just talked about getting there. And then we got there. I'm like, what are we going to do now? Well, yeah, we're going to try and win it, of course. But words have power. Words have power. And I could have been better.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Evan.
Next question from Mike McFeely. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Rob. So how do you describe your program since that day in Frisco? It's been 8 years now, and those of us in Fargo haven't, obviously you guys haven't played in the Bison, and we haven't really written or talked much about you. How would you describe your program since then and where you are now?
Kind of like, in a way, with the same mentality I had when I took it here, evolving. That it's not just the football program, it evolves within the university and the community at large. And it's not like out there where the university and community at large are all centralized on this. They love this. And I've had multiple presidents in the time that I've been here, multiple ADs, and people just don't see it exactly the same all the time. So it's a constant re-education process of what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, what the benefits of it are once you can do that on a regular basis, and the commitment it needs to stay at that level. That it's very hard to create yourself a dynasty anywhere unless your team is huge. And I'm not talking about the football team itself. I'm talking about the university, the surrounding community, that the places where all of those people are all rowing the boat in the same direction all the time, the consistency of that, that's what creates a dynasty. And that's a very, very, very hard thing to create. Sure. Okay. Where'd you lose me?
It's basically you answered my question, which is that, you know, you've had some changes, you've had some challenges, you know, just in the direction of the leadership and everything else at Towson, and that's good. I guess my follow-up then, Rob, would be from your standpoint as a head coach, have there been things that you've looked at in the subsequent 8 years after the title run or title game run that you could have done differently or better that you, or that you're trying now to kind of get back
out of that? The one biggest thing that we did differently was first poorly, and then we've improved, is recruiting. That all of a sudden, you know, when you know any history of where we are as a Division I program, it's, you know, it's pretty gray. And up until the time when we really committed, and once we did and we started moving in the right direction, all of a sudden people knew where Towson was. As a matter of fact, you guys might actually be able to pronounce it correctly now. It's amazing. Like, and it happened for 50 years before that. Nobody knew how to T-O-W-S-O-N. I never knew that was such a grammatical challenge. Well, once we could access a different level of recruit, theoretically, that came with its different level of baggage. And who you recruit is not about recruiting the best players. It's recruiting the best fit. And we got a little excited that we could recruit some guys that we couldn't recruit before, because now they knew who we were. And that came with the baggage that we hadn't planned. It took a little while to clean house after we did that. And ever since then, the character of a kid has become number one above everything else. That it's not what you can do, it's who you are before what you can do. That's going to make a difference. And while we preach and teach that you're constantly responsible to something greater than yourself, that you're responsible to presenting the university in a positive light in everything you do all the time, when you recruit people that are challenged by that, and then you recruit people that aren't challenged by that, some create better players, others create better teams. And right about now, we got one of the better teams we've ever had because of that.
Last question. One of the things I try to explain to people out here, because I'm fortunate to be able to travel to cover NDSU all around the country, as you referenced earlier, things aren't like they are everywhere else, like they are here in terms of support and fan base and money and all that stuff. I mean, Baltimore is a huge metropolitan area with professional teams, et cetera, et cetera. Do you sometimes feel lost in the shuffle as a player? I mean,
experience. When I was at UConn, you kind of get stuck in the middle of that. That you're stuck in between Boston and New York as a college team. And there's so much pro athletics up there that unless you're sitting on top of the Empire State Building, you're always going to get lost in the shuffle. And that, you know, I've said this for years now, find me a metropolitan area college team who wins a football national championship. It doesn't happen anymore, because in a metropolitan area, there's way too many things to do that are not football. And you're in Alabama, you're doing football. If you're in Clemson, you're doing football. If you're in Fargo, you're doing football. And, you know, not that I love the opportunities that the world presents us here for our kids, but it makes it a challenge that when you're in the middle of non-metropolitan area and you look around like, all right, what am I going to do? But you know what? I'm just going to go work on my craft. I'm going to work on the thing that I love, and I'm not going to go chase anything else. And with, I don't know, 100,000 college kids within a 15-mile radius, a major metropolitan area, there's a lot of stuff to do that's not just football. So, you know, there's challenges to every job, and it's managing those that allow success or disallow. Okay.
Thanks, Rob. See you Saturday.
Right, Rob, before I let you go, just maybe talk a little bit about the challenges that this year's North Dakota State team presents for you.
Well, you'd say this year's North Dakota State team. The numbers change, like who wears the numbers, but the style of ball, you know, they might tweak it a little bit. But they're one of the most aggressive, consistent, fast, physical teams that you ever see. They don't ever kill themselves. They'll make mistakes, but they'll correct them quickly, and they'll never make mistakes that are going to kill them. They'll make, and that's one of the things, like the ability to limit your mistakes and still be aggressive is one of the keys to success. And they do it every year, no matter who the personnel is. That's true credit to the entire program. You know, hey, which player would you like me to brag about more? Like how much time do you guys want to stay online? This, we could go through the, like, and they're deep. Oh, I love it personally. While I'm an offensive guy, I grew up, my dad's a defensive guy, and watching 7-8 players surrounding the football at the end of a play as a bare minimum shows a testament to hustle and good defense. And they do it every single play. It's fun to watch. It's beautiful to watch. It's something to shoot for. And when you're deep enough, like they are, and a kid doesn't want to play hard, hey, don't worry about it. Get out. I got somebody else that will. And they're motivated to play that way all the time. It's the way football should be played.
All right, Rob, thanks so much for the time today. Good luck on Saturday against NDSU, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.